You're listening to the best of SEN.
We're going to have to use that when we get to after 8 o'clock and your breaking news story that you found. Obviously, you went running around the SEN building yesterday looking for leaks and you've found one.
I found one.
I'm starting to look out the studio window here and try and see who the suspects are.
We'll line them up after the show.
There will be an investigation. Who's leaking here? What's happening in the world of rugby league? Not a great deal today.
But one player who dominated headlines, I guess, in the off-season was Josh Hodgson. He's dominated headlines for a little bit. Now he's going to leave the Raiders at the end of the season and link with Parramatta after Reid Marnie's decision to join Canterbury from Parramatta in 2023. But he was linked with a move to the Tigers. They went close. They ended up signing Api Kurosawa. But, there's been reports that Josh Hodgson may want out immediately. Newcastle with Jaden Brayley's injury have come into the picture. But he told the Telegraph this morning that he's had more links than a gold chain. It's not a bad line.
That's not bad.
Do you reckon he rehearsed that?
Yes.
Yeah. So he's been sitting on that one and denies he wants out of the nation's capital. So looks like he'll stay there. And I think Canberra are hesitant to let him go as well because of the court issues and police issues surrounding Tom Starling, who they've earmarked as their long-term hooker. So you can't imagine the Raiders letting Hodgson go anytime early while Starling's future's in doubt, because that would leave a huge hole.
Do you think that's happening more often than it used to? I mean, there was a time around the game where once you signed a contract going forward, a year or so ahead, that you just move him on out.
Yeah.
But at the moment, clubs seem really reticent to do that. And I wonder why. It obviously comes down to individual players and then the scenario that they're in. Mitchell Pearce is probably the other way.
Yeah.
But Matt Burton, which we discussed the other day, is on that side where Penrith just went, no, we're going to need you. And I think more clubs now are going, well, look, you've signed for 2023, but we're going to need you in some capacity this year.
And I think it used to be so rare that players were signing so early. So you'd only have one or two, but now there's so many that you can't let them all go.
Yeah.
And I think that's what it comes down to. And you're right, it comes down to circumstances. Look, I'm sure if Tom Starling didn't have that police issue hanging over his head, then Canberra probably would let Josh Hodgson go, and it'd be a win for both parties in that sense. And Newcastle would love to get him now, with everything that's going on with Jaden Brayley, that they've got that gap there. But will the Dogs take Reid Marnie early? Of course they would, but would Parry? So there's a lot of balls in the air for it to happen. And it depends on where your side is at. If you believe your side can win the comp this year, then you're not letting anyone go. And that's what happened with Penrith. And that's what's happening with Parramatta. Parramatta are losing Papalihi and Ray Stone and a few other blokes. But they're holding on to them because they believe they can win the comp in 22. Well, they've got more of a chance to win the comp in 22 than they do in 23 as it stands. So that's why. So it all depends on where your side is going and what your thoughts are heading into the season.
Also, back on cricket, there's some talk around this Pakistan tour that's coming up. It'll be the first Australian tour since 1998 when Mark Taylor was captain. Mm. But there could be some question marks around this one.
Yeah, Malcolm Conn has a report in the Sydney Morning Herald where he's quoted a source saying, "We're all toey about it." So there's obviously concerns amongst the playing group. And look, we'd love them all to go to Pakistan. I'd love that series to go ahead. It's such a challenging environment. As you mentioned, Matty, Australia haven't been there since 98. I think that went Mark Taylor score that 300, was that around? It's been such a long time ago now. But, those talks will heat up in the next couple of weeks as well because of the concerns around security and the like. It's interesting, Todd Greenberg, the Players Association chief, has said that he'll go on the tour with the players, but he's going to need some players to go with him, I think.
Well, they did a pre-tour visit in December, undertaken by Cricket Australia and the ACA representatives, which detailed planning and preparation for the tour. And obviously security is extensive. Biosecurity is also very important as well. But there have been some increase in terrorist activity in Pakistan over recent months. As Malcolm pointed out, a bomb exploded in Lahore just last week, and the Australian team would spend most of their time on tour in Lahore. Three people were killed in that one. There've been a hell of a lot of attacks over 2021. George Bailey, Australian selector, said the security sounds very, very robust and very, very thorough, and it's going to need to be that. I just wonder, is it time yet for the Australian team to go back to Pakistan? I mean, everybody would love to see cricket played in Pakistan, and it has been a long, long time. But if you've got security there that sounds very robust and sounds very thorough, it has to be very robust and very thorough, doesn't it? You have to have absolute protection around you here and make sure that they're not going to get into trouble. I don't know if they can answer that question 100%.
I don't think you can ever. You probably can never answer that question. But is it, on the flip side, like, is it a conducive environment to good cricket for the Australian side? Really? Like, if you, I've got no doubt at least one or two players won't go for security reasons. I'm not sure if it's a one in all in mentality there, but I'm sure that some people will just go, no, that's, I'm not going. But just having that stigma or just being around that environment, I just don't know if it's going to be good for the players as well in terms of what type of cricket they can produce. But look, I hope it goes ahead and I hope obviously everyone is safe. But if there's going to be any concerns, they'll just pull out.
It's got to be such a difficult decision and conversation to have if you're a player with a family, and a lot of them do, of course. So do you sit down with the wife and you say, well, what
do I do?
What do I do here? What do you think I should do? I'm going to this, you know, hotbed of activity and they've got secure, they've done everything they can, but we still have the great unknown, like you say. However, they have been used to playing under COVID and everything that's been going on over the last couple of years. They've become used to playing in all different scenarios, but this one is completely different to everything else. Should the Australian team go to Pakistan or not? 0457 736 736.
And even having that conversation with your family would be draining and difficult. And that seed of doubt, there's no doubt the players are going to go with a seed of doubt in their head. And that's where the concerns come into it for me in terms of not just their cricket, but their well-being and what sort of environment it's going to be set up there for them. So it's a huge decision. It's massive.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
Conway in, Kerr on strike, whips him off the pads, through mid-wicket. Wells has midfielded. It's gone to the rope. One of the all-time against the odds wins in BBL history. And the Sixers' dream of three titles in a row is still alive. No overseas players, no Josh Phillippe, no Daniel Hughes. Silk does a hammy, Henriques does a hammy. They've got a coach as a keeper. They've got a bowler as an opener. Everything against them. And somehow the Sixers find a way.
So they ended up winning it by four wickets. So 6 for 170, chasing 168. For victory. It knocks out the Adelaide Strikers, whose momentous run at the back end of this season has come to a halt, and it sets up the final tomorrow night, beginning at 20-8 down at Marvel Stadium. So looking forward to chatting with Adam Voges. Have you had time to process this one, Michael, and think any more about it, whether you thought it was in the spirit of the game, whether you would do it if you were captain or coach?
Oh, any of my mates that know me know I would. There's no doubt about it. I'm a win-at-all-cost sort of guy. So, yeah, there's no issue with it. I liked what Peter Siddle said after the game, the opposition skipper, where he said, look, it's within the rules. It's like he wasn't happy about it. And if I was an opposition captain, I would have protested, but you know you would have been protesting in vain.
Yes.
So, look, I'm fine with it. Play on and book themselves another finals.
They are the walking wounded. So the next big question for the Sydney Sixers is who makes the team?
Yeah.
Who makes up the
Who's
team?
Fit?
Who's
yeah.
left?
Yeah.
And Who's who can left. Actually get out there?
Yeah.
And what about the situation with Steve Smith? Does that get raised yet again?
Could you imagine?
Well, we know the answer. Yeah. It's been no, no, and no, and I don't think it's going to change.
It can't change. It can't change now. It just can't. Can it? Look at me. You look at me with...
I'm just thinking, imagine if Adam jumps on the line and says, you know what? We're up for it.
No.
Then that changes the whole situation. But I don't think that's going to happen
no.
either. What did you make yesterday of Michael Venus? So he was one side of the doubles team that was taken out by the special case the other day. Raucous scenes. and Venus was going head-to-head, toe-to-toe with Nick Kyrgios. Now, then Michael Venus sits down afterwards and calls him an absolute knob. They were his words, and said that he didn't fulfil his potential. And the sledge game was back on. What did you make of that?
Love it. There's something just about Nick that just brings out, what, the worst or the best? I don't know. Like, it just infuriates people. And look, if I knew who Michael Venus was before, you know, a couple of days ago, I might be a bit more concerned, but I'd really never heard of him. So I love it. I love the banter. I love players going at each other. It's great theatre. And look, if they ever play each other again, we're going to watch. You know, doubles, singles, it doesn't matter. Like, it's great. And that's what builds sport. Those rivalries build sport and build interest and captivates people. So I'm all for it. I'm all for it having you saying, look, Nick, he's a bit of a knob, isn't he? Really? On the court, the way he carries on, and you can understand how he gets under people's skin, but I love it.
Yep. Let us know your thoughts. 0457 736 736. Maddie White and Michael Carayannis with you this morning on the Summer Breakfast Show. So the BBL has come down to the Perth Scorchers v the Sydney Sixers tomorrow night. On the line is Scorchers coach Adam Voges, who joins us on the breakfast program. Good morning, Adam. Thanks for your time.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're good, thanks. We're still trying to wrap our heads around what happened last night between the Sixers and the Strikers. How did you view the way that it unfolded?
Yeah, it was a terrific game of cricket, wasn't it? I think it kept everyone on the edge of their seats, whether you were watching the game closely or not. But, to go down to the final ball, I thought Hayden Kerr was outstanding with 98 not out. And almost single-handedly got the Sixers over the line and into another final.
We saw Jay Lenton from the Sixers coaching staff have to play last night. Would you put your hand up? Anyone in your coaching staff, Adam, that would be ready to play in case?
I actually, when I saw that Jay Linton was playing, I did message both of my assistant coaches, Bo Casson and Matt Mason, and just said, which one of you guys are ready to go for Friday? So, it's a terrific effort from him and shows, I guess, the flexibility that the Sixers have had to endure to get to this point with Josh Phillippe going down. But I'm pretty sure you won't see any of our coaching staff out there on Friday night.
Well, you never say never in these times, do you, about absolutely anything. There's been a fair bit of discussion this morning around subbing in Jay at the very end there as Jordan Silk, and it came down to the crunch on the last couple of balls. And we've been discussing how Peter Siddle, I think, addressed it fine. He said it's not a big issue. Sure, we're upset about it, but at the end of the day, it's within the rules, so they can do it. Is it something that is, for you as a coach and an ex-player, is it something for you that you look at, say, well, this is part of the game, it's play on, move on?
It is, in a way. I mean, the rules are the rules, and strictly speaking, the Sixers didn't do anything wrong. Spirit of the game. Look, again, if we're in a similar situation, I thought it was out of the box thinking by Greg Shipper, to be honest. I don't think Harvard may have even thought about that as a possibility. So I guess for them to have that clarity of thought in such a high pressure situation, to be able to make that move, look, I don't mind it. I can understand the Sixers, the Strikers' frustration as well. But again, it was certainly within the rules.
The Sixers are a bit of a walking wounded at the moment. How's the fitness around some of your boys, particularly Mitchell Marsh?
We're pretty good. Mitch had a run around yesterday and did a bit of the higher speed running that we probably needed to see from him before we went into tomorrow night. And we've got our final training session tonight at Marvel, and he'll do a bit of skill work. But we're confident that Mitch is going to be able to get up and play in the final. Whether he's actually able to bowl or not, we'll probably look at that at training tonight to see how he goes. But yeah, quietly confident that he'll play as a batter at least.
Adam, given everything that's been going on around the Steve Smith discussion at the Sixers, I'm interested in your perspective on this one. Would you be okay if he was in the team tomorrow night?
It's a really interesting one, isn't it? And again, we just spoke about the rules and where they sit. Look, we're really clear at the beginning of each tournament that if we want our Australian players available, that we need to have them contracted on our list. So that's what we do. We we carry Jai Richardson through the whole tournament in the hope that he's available to play at the end. The Sixers have done the same with Nathan Lyon. You saw Travis Head and Alex Carey playing for the Strikers last night. Is that a perfect system? I don't think so. I'd like to see, if nothing else happened, a conversation happen as to how we do get our best Australian players in, because you do want your best players playing, and there's no doubt about that. But we're also really clear as to what we can and can't do. And look, as I understand, the Sixers would love to have Steve Smith in. As it currently stands within the rules, that's not allowed.
Any idea when you guys can or how you'll be able to get home, Adam? Is there any clarity around that once the tournament wraps up?
A little bit of clarity. Obviously, the Premier's announcement last week to delay the border opening hit us pretty hard. And the idea that we might not be able to get home. My understanding is that with an exemption, we're hoping to get the whole group home on the 5th of February. So that gives us another week here in Melbourne, potentially after the final, before getting everyone home and then doing 2 weeks quarantine. So, it was a bit of a kick in the guts, the announcement the other day, but I think if we can at least get everyone back to Perth and in their own homes and their own beds, I think that would be a good result.
How long have you been on the road?
We played our first game at Optus Stadium on December 8th and had to go straight into hotel quarantine after that and then fly out of Perth, and we haven't been back since. So I'm not sure the exact amount of days. I haven't been counting them, but it's been a long, long, hard slog for us. I guess we sort of worked that out pretty early in the tournament that we were going to be away for the majority of the tournament. And to our players' credit and to the staff's credit, we've just got on with the job. And there's been a bit of adversity along the way, but I think the way that they've handled the challenges, the players, I'm incredibly proud of our group. And to have played well enough to earn a home final at Marvel Stadium tomorrow night, it's something that, we're obviously really looking forward to.
A person that you know closely, Justin Langer, there's been a lot of talk around his future as the Australian coach. Would you like to see him remain in charge of Australia and, I guess, in all three formats as well?
If he wants to do the job, he should definitely do the job, in my opinion. If you take into account results, we've just won a World Cup. We've just beaten England 4-0 in an Ashes series. They're two of the biggest events in world cricket, and we've done incredibly well during that period. So, again, I'm very biased. I'm a big fan of JL, but I think he's done a wonderful job, and the results speak for themselves.
So just a final one looking ahead to tomorrow night. The Sixers going for three straight. What do you tell your team before they head out in the BBL final?
I don't think the messaging changes too much. We're really clear on what we need to do and what our best cricket looks like. I'll just be asking the boys to bring plenty of energy throughout the game. We've done so well throughout this tournament. It's just about trying to keep our preparations as consistent as we possibly can. There's meant to be 20 or 30 mil of rain here in Melbourne, so I reckon the roof might be closed tomorrow night. It's probably a good thing we're playing at Marvel. So, just the way the boys have gone about it, we've got a very experienced group led by Ashton Turner, who's playing in his 100th BBL match for the Scorchers tomorrow night. So it'd be a fitting way to for the skipper to win his 100th game, and hopefully we can do the job tomorrow night.
Yeah, well, good luck with that one, mate. All the very best. On behalf of cricket fans, thanks for all the sacrifices that you guys have made. I mean, you've been on the road for more than 2 months and still got some sacrifices to make on the way back. So thank you, and thanks for your time this morning.
No problem. Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
Alrighty, we love ourselves some breaking news. We love a big announcement here. And regarding breakfast with Vossie in 2022, we've got a big one. The great man's on the line. Hello, Vossie.
Hello, Matt. Hello, Michael. Happy New Year to you, to all our listeners. Lovely to be on your program this morning. Don't go too well, fellas.
We're going okay. But Michael Carayannis was in here yesterday, Vossie, and then I watched him, and he was sort of scouring the office, and he was carrying his notebook around, and he was he was whispering, whispering in ears. And off he went and breaks a little story early on in the Daily Telegraph this morning. For those that haven't seen it yet, you can tell us what's happening with Breakfast with Vossie.
Yeah, it's a big announcement, and personally, I'm really, really excited, and I think our listeners will be too, that Breakfast will be double the fun this year, because the one and only Greg Alexander will be joining the breakfast team, co-hosting the program in the morning with me. You know, you're talking great of rugby league, former Panther legend, Warriors, New South Wales, Australia, outstanding performer on Fox League, terrific analyst, sports lover, ticks every box as far as I'm concerned. So starting February 14, it won't just be the breakfast show with Vossie, it'll be Vossie and Brandy on the program right here on 1170 SEN, the home of sport in Sydney. And I, for one, are very excited about it. And what I will say is that I'm looking forward to arguing and debating. When you sit solo, Matt, and you know, when you're in the studio by yourself and there's so many meaty issues, you want someone to bite back. Greg will bite back. He'll hold his own. There'll be times that we agree, but there'll be plenty of times we disagree. And then, of course, we engage with the audience. So it's going to be a good year, folks.
Well, I know from my experience right here in this studio, Vossie, as you will do, that, you know, Brandy was with me for the first hour of a Monday for my show, and that was part of it as well. I love his acumen. I love his love of sport. Obviously, you know, a rugby league great, like you say, but I love the fact that you can get into some meaty issues with Brandy, that he will bite back, and you can not only have a lot of fun with him and have a lot of intelligent conversations, but you have a blue if you want. So let's get him on the line. Brandy is on the line listening into this, the new half of the Breakfast Show of 2022, Vossie and Brandy. Morning to you, mate. Happy New Year. You must be excited about this.
Yeah, looking forward to it, Matty. Good to talk, mate, and hope you're well. Michael Carayannis, yeah, did give me a call yesterday. We had a quick chat.
Sorry, Brandy.
And Ben, the producer, rang me about 10 minutes ago, and I thought, I missed the first one. I thought, God, who's ringing at this time of the morning? Who's ringing so early?
It's not a good start, Vossie, is it? He's going to have to get used to very early texts.
No, well, of course, yeah. I mean, I'm normally up at 3, do the run, the swim, the bike, and then start getting into research for the program. So, Brandy, fire up, son.
I've sort of set a little program together. So this week is 6 o'clock, next week's 5 o'clock, the week leading into breakfast start, before. And I'm hoping, I haven't checked with you yet, so if 4's not early enough, we could be in trouble. So, yes.
So what were looking forward to you guys have worked together for a long time now. Where do we see the disagreements happening? What can we expect?
Well, we've been on Fox League for the last 10 years, but calling games. So we haven't been in a studio situation. But even calling games, I know there's periods there, and you haven't got time to argue while you're calling games. You just got to move on because the play continues. So, but there's plenty of times I know that he's looked at me and I've looked at him and I've thought, no, neither of us are going to say anything. Otherwise, we will just get lost in it and the game will carry on. So, I don't know, Michael, what, you know, we will argue about, but you know, that's radio, isn't it? Debate. Debate is radio.
If I can contribute here, Brandy, if I may, because we're 50-50. We did work on radio some years ago, and we were doing a show around Christmas. And you come in, you know, every day is a blank canvas, really, with a program. But when you get to the Christmas period, a lot of sport drops off, so you're sort of scratching around. So you go to old chestnuts, old talkback topics, you know, highlight of the year, prediction for the next year. We went with a talkback topic, who would you like to have over for breakfast Christmas Day? This was our Christmas Eve program. It turned out to be the listeners took it, who would you like to sleep with, basically, in the sporting world and wake up next to and have breakfast with. So I think we need to go back over and have a little bit more discipline, a little bit more structure, a little bit more control. But if it gets weird, I make apologies in advance because, in fact, no, I don't make an apology. It will get weird at times.
And see, that topic was a bit risky 15 years ago, but Fletch runs that sort of thing every afternoon.
Hey, Brandy, in terms of your role at Penrith as well and your other commitments this year, you're in for a busy year. So what actually drew you to breakfast? Because breakfast can be a hard slog. And like you say, you've got a great relationship with Vossie. We love you at this network, but it's a big call to do what you're about to do. Is it just your love of sport? Because not many people know you'll watch any sport anywhere, anytime, and you've got four young blokes in your house as well, so you kind of don't have a choice.
No, it is going to be a busy year, Matty, but I think there's plenty of time through the day to do what I have been doing over the last, you know, decade, Penrith and, you know, New South Wales for the last 4 or 5 years. So there'll be plenty of time to do what I've been doing. Just need to organise myself. What drew me to breakfast? I guess it was working with Vossie. You know, I think, you know, Andrew, we had a quick chat about it late last year, and didn't really go anywhere until I spoke to Hutch, and it sort of blossomed from there. So I think that the big thing about it is that, you know, I'll be working with Andrew, and, you know, as he said, we've done that over many years, and Sports Today, Fox Sports, but for a long time. So Andrew was the big factor in joining breakfast.
So Vossie, it sounds to me as though negotiations were tense to make this happen. Did you have to? Was it the end of the day that you said, okay, we can name it Breakfast with Brandy and Vossie instead of Breakfast with Vossie and Brandy? Or are you sticking solid on that?
Matt, I don't know whether you've checked your pay slip lately, but I think we're all taking a cut to bring Brandy on board, actually. I just think for the station, and I'm not just talking about 1170 either, I'm talking about the entire SEN network, and people download the SEN app. You see the talent that we have on, the names we have on through AFL greats and cricket greats, you know, at varying times of the year, are part of the SEN team. To have Greg Alexander on that list now, joining the likes here in Sydney of Matty Johns and Brian Fletcher and Joel Kane and Jimmy Smith, it's fantastic. And he is a... I mean, this is a mutual admiration society this morning, but he is. He's just come along in leaps and bounds as a broadcaster, as an analyst. And you're right, Matty, about the other sports. I think that's where we get the benefit of Brandy. It's not just going to be the rugby league. It's his love of other sports, in his opinion. He's not backward in coming forward, so and engaging with the audience. So, yes, the breakfast show on the title will say Vossie and Brandy, or Brandy and Vossie, but it's the listener as well. So three-way conversation at all times, and let's rip in from Feb 14.
Hey, Brandy, I'm going to miss doing this with you on a Monday morning because you'll be starting early, but at the PGA Tour this morning, the Farmers Insurance Open, Michael Thompson 6-under. Then we got Justin Thomas and Billy Horschel at 5-under, and Cam Davis has been making a move. So, Vossie, be prepared. He loves his golf on a Monday morning especially.
Well, that's all part of it, isn't it? And the Premier League will be on in one corner. He loves his EPL. He loves his NBL. He's done in the past. I mean, people don't know, back in the day at other radio stations, he was on the sideline doing A-League football. So, you know, Brandy's an all-rounder, but I know that, look, without apology, obviously rugby league is going to be the meat and the sandwich every morning because it just keeps on delivering. Michael Carayannis does it not. He just never sleeps. Keep producing stories. And you'll go, I often say, with a breakfast radio program, what I learnt last year, you go to bed thinking this is what we're going to wake up talking about. And you wake up and you pick up the paper and then the listener drives the agenda and it's something totally different. And stories break and issues break. Some go on for weeks, some sort of peter out for a couple of days, but I'm pretty sure we are in for a very busy news year. The good, the bad, the ugly, we'll cover it all.
What can we expect from any major, aside from Brandy obviously coming in, Vossie, you know, some of your... You like to cover off on the news particularly. Does that element remain the same?
I think, Michael, we have to do that. A commitment. We said right from day one that, yes, we are a sport network, but there's just too much happening in our lives at the moment on the news front. So we certainly cannot ignore that. And we have the gears to change gears. We have that ability that if a big story breaks, and I'll give you an example, like... And Tiger Woods is a sporting story when he had his car accident, but with a great producer like Ben Rossley, you know, within minutes we were crossing to the LA Police Department. I mean, whatever interview we had lined up had to go out the window. So we will have that flexibility to cover news from all around the world. Brandy's on board with that principle as well. But sport is number one. That's where we'll take most of our talk back. But look, we just can't ignore the battles of people in business at the moment. Pandemic, Tom Petrosky, we'll get him back on board this year with business. He's our expert in that department. We have experts in the medical field. We have Lee Hadjipantelis on board again this year from Brighton's Lawyers. We lean on him very heavily through the year to cover all of those legal issues, and they keep coming up every week. And then we've got great journalists from The Telegraph as well. I mean, Look, can I just single it? David Ricciardo.
Too easy.
Very good. And Michael Carayannis. Michael, you'll be on the program as well. So you guys have your fingers on the pulses. Is that an expression? Can I say fingers
it
on
is
the
now.
Pulses? Yeah, that's right. Mm. Well, it's more than one pulse. It's all part and parcel of the program. Not sure about the music. Don't know about Brandy's love of music. That's one thing we haven't discussed.
That could be the first drama.
But the karaoke, and I listened a lot last year. The karaoke session we might have to review that.
Yeah.
All right. Gee, yep. The editorial meeting's already getting a little bit salty. All right, guys. Look, it's fantastic news. We're getting a great reaction, as you can imagine, on the text line. I'm going to let you go with this thought from Jace. He says, "Morning, Summer Team. Is it too late now to get Brandy and Vossi included in the Fox Sports best halves pairing for 2022?"
The what?
I'll leave that one to Andrew.
Leave it hanging out there. Good on you, fellas. Enjoy the rest of your break. We cannot wait for you to come on back as a new look breakfast team. Thanks for your time this morning, boys.
We'll be ready.
Good to chat, fellas.
There he is, Greg Alexander. So full-time with Vossi from February 14, breakfast with Vossi and Brandy. And we are so happy that is coming back to SEN right here in 2022.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
Yeah, on the text line, the Big G's very happy about Brandy joining Vossi. He says, let's make this a Panthers forum. Scott from Cronulla, good to hear from you. Fantastic news on Brandy joining the show full-time. What a great addition. You're right with that. Good on you, Scott. Thank you. 0457 736 736. A tennis update now. Thanks to Kia, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. Brett Phillips is on the line as we head towards what could be one of the great Australian days down there at Melbourne Park with the lineup that we've got, PP. You've got the Special K's into Dylan Alcott, into Ash Barty. Quite a trifecta.
Yeah, obviously, Matt, we're hoping all can certainly salute. I think we feel confident about Ash. You know, Dylan, what a career. But, you know, the pressure, I suppose, being your finale, does he put the icing on the cake of a brilliant career? And, well, you know, the way Kokkinakis and Kyrgios are playing right now, you feel like they're going to beat anyone that's in front of them. They've had such a great tournament. So, yeah, if we can get 3 out of 3, that'd be a magnificent day. Apparently going to be, close to capacity during the day session. And then, yeah, Ash, great to see the women's semis move to prime time, which, I think we've all been wanting to happen for a few years.
And roof closed today, so there's a fair amount of wet weather around. So that could be, just adds a little bit more spice, especially throughout that doubles match. It's going to be loud in there.
Yeah, it's going to be nice and loud. Yeah, it's raining as we speak. And, yeah, obviously we saw the rain come yesterday for the first time to interrupt the two men's quarters, but yeah, it looks like it's going to stick around for a little while. So, yeah, the place will be heaving today. So, looking forward to being right there courtside.
What's your read on Daniil Medvedev and his interactions with the crowd? So, we know earlier in the tournament he said the crowd has a low IQ. Then he comes back out last night, drops the Novak. What would Novak do in this situation? But quickly corrects himself almost to get the crowd back on side by mentioning Rafa and Roger in the same sentence.
He's an interesting guy, Daniil. I mean, I'm a huge fan, Matt. Number one, his tennis, his staying powers to come back from 2 sets to love down were brilliant to watch last night. And look, he's quirky. He gives you something. He goes from hero to villain, back to hero very, very quickly, back to villain. So I think he sort of enjoys, when things aren't necessarily on his side, it seems to lift him to another level. And he goes to a stratosphere mentally, similar to Djokovic in a sense. He's never always had the crowd on his side. And I think, it certainly inspires him to get some love from the crowd. But we know crowds sway back and forth. I think last night, definitely they were loving the underdog factor. We all love an upset. We thought it was brewing with Felix. He played brilliant tennis. Just mark this guy down. He and Shapovalov, they've both gone down in 5, but they're going to be around the pointy end of slams. Two different players, but, just brilliantly equipped for big occasions. But, Daniil, I think any time he gets in front of a microphone, I think it's a must listen.
There's obviously a lot of hype surrounding the Special K's, Brett, but realistically, what are their chances? On paper, they are wild cards. They're playing one of the top seeds again. Can they get the job done?
Yeah, well, I mean, Zabias and his partner Granola is a Spaniard today. I mean, both once upon a time were very good singles players, are now specialising in doubles. And
like all the pairs, Michael, that they've faced, you know, they play doubles all around. They've, you know, they win decent trophies, and it's just a very different sort of setup, if you like, on the tennis court when you're playing these two, because they're both singles players predominantly, who you know, don't I suppose play the typical doubles match, if you like, and using all the nuances of the court, and it's you know, it's big from the back, so it's a lot to deal with power wise to try and make any inroads on the serve, because not everyone in men's doubles is blessed with, you know, the type of serves that Kyrgios and Kokkinakis possess. And then you've got this totally different environment crowd wise, which, you know, it'll be interesting to see what it's like inside RLA today, because they are letting everyone in. So, you know, will there be maybe a little bit more respect for the opposition? We'll wait and see. But yeah, it's pretty formidable to play two singles players. So if they came together and played more doubles, I mean, they, you know, even though they haven't played a lot of doubles, they could be pretty successful, I reckon.
You got a huge day ahead, so I'll let you get on with it. Looking forward to catching up tomorrow, and let's hope we're talking about Ash winning, about Dylan Alcott winning again, and let's see where this Special K ride takes us. Good on you, BP.
Thanks, guys.
Brett Phillips there. Thanks to Kia, the super fast charging all-electric Kia EV6. Silent as the critics. You can find out more at kia.com/au. So the Special Ks, their match live coverage on the SEN Fanatic app from 2:30. That's followed by Dylan Alcott's match. BP will be calling that one on the app. And then tonight on SEN and also via our app, so on the SEN network from 7 o'clock, full coverage of Ash Barty up against Madison Keys in the semi-final. Make sure you stay with us for that one. 0457 736 736 is the text line. Matt White, Michael Carayannis filling in for breakfast with Vossie and Brandy now. Coming your way February 14, 2022.
You're listening to the best of SEN.
For a bloke who's had to be away from home since before Christmas,
will have
to go home and then do another 2 weeks of isolation in his home state. Adam Voges is a man who makes a lot of sense about a lot of issues. We asked him about Justin Langer, and his response, obviously, he's biased because he's from there and he knows Justin very well, obviously. And he said, yeah, I am biased. But the simple reality is if Justin Langer wants that job, then they should give it to him.
He's had a lot of thinking time in his hotel room, probably.
Correct. There's only so much Netflix that'll take you through. Paul from Narrabeen on the text line says, g'day, guys. Welcome aboard, Brandy. So glad you're back. Vossie, I hope we're not losing Vossie Oakey. It appears to be the first item of discussion in the editorial meeting.
Bit of early drama there between the pair.
Oh, you look at you stirring it up. However, we need to address this issue. So I see this story that you've got out. Now we can talk about it.
Oh, yes.
For those that didn't see it. So if you pick up the telly today, turn open the back page, and on the inside, page 68, Brandy's back in radio land, Michael Carayannis. And I went, well, hang on a second. How did you get this information?
You know, as a seasoned journalist, Matt,
you're not going to reveal your sources.
I definitely cannot.
However, Brandy admitted that you called him yesterday.
Well, he's quoted in the story, so that's a giveaway.
Was he the leak?
I can't say. Maybe there was a memo in one of the notice boards here or something that I may have seen.
2 a.m. Tommy. I'm going to frame him. I'm putting my own producer in the frame. But yeah, Brandy is back with Vossie. So the breakfast with Vossie and Brandy coming your way on February 14. Let's do some sports news.
Socceroos, Matty. They're almost the forgotten code, I guess, at the moment with everything that's been going on in tennis and cricket and the world around us. But they've got an important World Cup 2022 qualifier tonight. It's also in Melbourne. So there's a lot happening in Victoria over the next couple of days. But they play Vietnam as they look to try and clinch a fifth straight World Cup. But they're going to do so without their coach, Graham Arnold, who's not playing.
Yes.
For the Socceroos, but he'll be missing through COVID. So, yeah, and you know, the Socceroos should get the job done tonight. But, yeah, just it could be an awkward one for him.
Very. And I'd like to know then, how does Graham Arnold, how does Arnie coach this team remotely? How weird would that be? Let's set up a Zoom. Let's beam him into the dressing rooms.
I just don't think you can. Can you? I think you just got to have that fate. Like, if you see something, there's got to be a line of communication, but I don't think you can run the team from home. We saw it. Well, Wayne Bennett got done at Grappa And Todd Payton had to do quarantine as well after being a casual contact for, and I think he missed two games for the Cowboys. So I don't know if you can really control the side from there. You've got to have enough faith in the systems and all that sort of stuff. But, you know, if you see something, there's got to be a line of communication. Can't do the halftime address from FaceTime.
Maybe that's the answer that the Australian cricket team needs.
With Justin Langer working from home.
Well, they're like, Justin, JL, you're too intense. This is way too intense. We can't play like you used to play, and you can't coach us like you used to dig in and just be an immovable object. So, and he goes, well, what about if I patch in via Microsoft Teams every now and then? Oh, that works.
Occasional text update saying, oh, what about this?
See what I'm thinking?
That's imagine the way him I'm pacing now. It by himself in his lounge room, Justin Langer.
Well, it's been fascinating. I'm going to chat with Kate Campbell tomorrow on this show. And one of the things that Kate has spoken about post-Tokyo and now looking ahead, if she goes all the way to Paris, she'll be the first female swimmer to do 5 Olympic Games as an Australian. So an extraordinarily long and successful career. But what she has said is that COVID took the blinkers off. It made people like her who go through the grind from the moment they hit the pool as youngsters until the moment they finish their career and don't see a lot of other stuff worldly-wise, it took the blinkers off and they got off the hamster wheel. So I'm really interested when I chat to Kate, and we'll have that for you tomorrow on this show, just exactly what that meant for her and what changes from the COVID and lockdown situation were good for her. It appears as though it's prolonged her career as an Olympian. Now, I think she probably could have gone there anyway if she really wanted to, but this time away from the pool and an enforced lockdown, and by the way, go out and take photos and refurbish old furniture, which you like doing. These are the kind of things that refresh your mind and your body, and then she can get back to focusing on Paris 2024. So while we joke about the changes that COVID have enforced and whether or not Arnie could zoom on into the dressing room, perhaps in some situations there are little things along the way that have come out that have made careers go longer or changes for positive within a team situation. It's the great unknown that's been forced upon us, and good athletes and good sports organisations adapt first and foremost. That sports update thanks to Nissan, the tough and rugged Nissan Navara, the perfect addition to your business fleet.
You're listening to the best of SEN.